This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Let me just put on the phone when he wants to start. Afwan ya Tariq. Tabnak.
La sharaftana.
Shrabi mai shway. Okay, Ahmed.
You are live.
Okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملء الأعلى يا رب العالمين. One of the traditions that at least in many Muslim countries is that before صلاة الجمعة somebody mashallah is reading the Quran. There's a number of benefits in that, and alhamdulillah we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the groups of people he loved the most were the young people who had an attachment to the Quran. In fact, there were times where he made leaders of very important armies and missions, he made the leaders young people because of how much Quran they understood and knew, mashallah. So before we start this virtual khutbah inshallah, and then people can pray dhuhr after, I'm really happy to introduce my brother Tariq. Tariq, are you there?
I'm there. Assalamu alaikum.
Is one of those ajal, yani ajil jadid, alhamdulillah. You know, this new generation of young American Muslims, Egyptian, of course, who spends time with the shuyukh, who memorizes the Quran with the scholars, learns how to read correctly. And he has a really great Instagram page too. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, akhi. Tafaddal mashkura. Assalamu alaikum.
JazakAllah khair. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم يرى الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصافات صفا فالزاجرات زجرا فالتاليات ذكرا إن إلهكم لواحد رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما ورب المشارق إنا زينا السماء الدنيا بزينة الكواكب وحفظا من كل شيطان مارد لا يسمعون إلى الملأ الأعلى ويقذفون من كل جانب دحورا ولهم عذاب واصب إلا من خطف الخطفة فأتبعه شهاب ثاقب فاستفتيهم أهم أشد خلقا أم من خلقنا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ مِنْ طِينِ لَازِبٍ صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله. First of all, I want to thank our brother Tariq Khalil, mashallah, for that beautiful citation of the Quran. I hope that every one of you are doing well, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us during this time and to increase us, inshallah, in khair. Brothers and sisters, abshiru, abshiru, inshallah. As Allah said to the Prophet, wabashiru mu'mineen. You know, let's stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay with the promise of Allah. Wa'adallahi haqq. Inna allaha la yukhliful mi'ad. That being said, these are understandably difficult times, trying times, times which test us and cause us to really begin to question a number of things. And last week, in our short virtual khutbah, I mentioned a very important historical person, Imam Ibn Hajar, one of the great, great scholars of hadith, who dedicated his life to serving the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who lived really a very difficult life, was born as an orphan. He lost his parents, was raised by his sister, mashallah, and his sister, who lived with poverty so that she could keep the library of his father. And she used to say, I did this so that my brother will become a scholar, subhanAllah. Behind, as they say, every great man is a greater woman. And she sacrificed. And he said, like, rahimallah, may Allah have mercy on my sister who like sacrificed for me to become who I was today. The second, subhanAllah, thing that we learned about him is that actually he lost three daughters to the bubonic plague. Out of six children, he lost three to a plague, one in 819 after the migration of the Prophet, and the second, two actually in 819, excuse me, and one in 833. But then he still writes this short, very powerful work on how you can turn a plague into a blessing. بَذْلُ الْمَعُونَ فِي فَوَائِدِي أَوْ فِي فَضْلِ الطَّعُونَ. It's like, how, subhanAllah, could someone have the capacity to do that? Rahimahullah. But that's the spirit of the believer. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that I am amazed by the faithful. I'm amazed by the affairs of the faithful. Because for them, any affair is good. If they are blessed, they're thankful. And if they're afflicted, they're patient. And being thankful is good for them. And being resilient and patient is for them. That's why we say in Islam that faith rests on two wings. The wings of gratitude and the wings of resilience, mashallah. There's a section of his text that I wanted to just briefly share with everybody, because I know, again, it's the role that religion plays in times like this is that no other science, no other philosophy can make sense of what's happening right now except al-haq, except the truth. And he mentions, subhanAllah, later on in that text, because we talked about the etiquettes last week of isolation, the etiquettes of shouldering a plague and anchoring a plague. And I noted how this, out of the seven major works of hadith, five of those texts actually have chapters on plagues and trauma and difficulties and hardships. It's part of life. Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقَصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will test you. You will be tested by things that cause you to be fearful, by things which cause you to experience hunger and poverty, by loss of life. Like, that's life. It's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But give good news to the patient. SubhanAllah. One of the scholars said, notice how it didn't say console the resilient, console the patient. It said give good news to the resilient, because the rewards of the resilient people in the Quran are innumerable. And resilience also doesn't mean that we surrender and we don't stand up for what's right. That's not resilience. Resilience is to boldly face challenges and to bravely speak out against injustices while understanding that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why one of our beliefs in Islam, and this is very central to Tawheed, is that if everything in the world around us goes against what's in the Quran, we should not surrender to the lie of the world, but we should submit
to the message of the Quran. And that's what it means when it says to believe in the unseen. Because everything around me is lit. Everything around me is like hype. Everything around me is telling me, yo, why are you trying to be righteous? Why are you trying to make sense of something like this? Why are you trying to be upright? Everyone else is going this way. Why are you trying to go that way? But it's in that moment, whether I can choose the liquor store or the dhikr store, I could choose the bar or the minbar, I could choose things that are evil, or I can choose righteousness. Now I learn to earn because I'm righteous. So how do I now then act on that? At that moment, even though I see all of the material things in front of me telling me one thing, I believe in the unseen. So what Allah's command is, I stick to it. And that's what we say, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. يَخْتَارَ الْغَيْبِ يَخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they choose what's with Allah, even though everything around them may be going against that. And that leads to bravery. And that leads to wisdom. And that leads to insight. That takes us beyond being blinded by the bling of the streets into being guided by the light of Allah. Imagine, like, if people are just caught up Netflix binging and, you know what I'm saying, in the little material things, how much on the outside of that wall are they missing? The knowledge of Allah is infinite, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam, and we call that basira, right? Insight, the ability to see beyond the definitions and constructions of the material. That's why when one of the Sahabi, the Prophet said to him, his companions, Kaifa Asbat, how is your morning? He said, Asbahtu mu'minan, I have arisen today as a believer in Allah. And the Prophet said, really? Likulli qawlin, every speech has something which can verify that speech. So how do you verify that you're a believer? He said, when I look at the world, it is though I see myself between the heavens and the earth. And nothing will dissuade me from seeing the world that way. The meaning of what he said. And the Prophet said, that's faith, man. The ability to see beyond all this. So Imam Ibn Hajar, as a believer, does. And as the Prophet mentioned, that the affairs of the faithful are always good because the faithful realize this is temporary. This is just a test. You know, it's going to come. It's going to go. I have to stand up against evil. If the whole world is doing evil, I don't use that as an excuse to surrender to evil. I stand and sacrifice for what's right by choosing the path of justice and by choosing the path of righteousness and faith, subhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. He said, be careful of the inside of the believer because the believer sees with the light of God. Imam Ibn Hajar, he cast a light on the confusion perhaps that we find in this time. And I mentioned last week, for example, a benefit is, I know a brother, he called me, and this brother I've known this brother, we converted in the 90s. Still a Muslim, mashallah. But we all got our challenges, man. We all have our challenges. We all have our issues. One of the things that this has exposed is a myth of self-reliance, how much we really need one another. So the brother, he called me and he said, subhanAllah, because of this lockdown, I haven't been able to drink alcohol in 2 weeks. This is the first time I've been able to stay away from alcohol since we were youngsters. And he said, like, look how Allah has blessed me, even though I'm in this difficult situation, how this opportunity has now been used to yutahhirakum bi. The Quran says that this has happened to you so that you can be purified and cleansed of your evil. Subhanallah. That being said, Imam Ibn Hajar gives us four things to think about. I'll make it quick, and I hope all of you are blessed and doing well. You know, these are very difficult times. Just 3 days ago, my daughter, 10-month-old daughter, started to have a 102, almost 103-degree temperature. She started freaking out, man. And, you know, the debate of whether to go to the hospital, because, you know, if you go to the hospital, basically you may catch the virus. Pediatrician on computer doing a Zoom meeting with our pediatrician and just, you know, being there at the service of my beautiful daughter who I love, and my wife who I love intensely. And you're just making dua, praying two rakah, doing what you got to do. These are very interesting times. And I realized, man, the only place I can go for a lot of the things I need is Allah. Allah says, La malja'a min Allahi illa ilayh. In Surah At-Tawbah, he mentions that one of the blessings he gave people to come back to him, and that's why the chapter is called Repentance. ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحب, like the earth constricted them, began to suffocate them. till they felt the only place they could flee was from Allah to Allah. Subhanallah, like you're boxed in. One of the great scholars said this is one of the greatest blessings of Allah, that someone experienced the physical component of faith in God, where they actually see in the world that there are circumstances and times where the only place you can flee to is Allah. And usually that comes through hardship. So Imam Ibn Hajar gives us four things to think about. And I hope you guys are doing wonderful and blessed, alhamdulillah. And that is, number one, he said that from the fruit of a plague is what's called taqsirul amal. Taqsirul amal. What he means by taqsirul amal is that somebody is able to really understand where they're delusional and where they're like giving into false hopes. So what he means is clarity. So, you know, I have my sphere of influence. I have my sphere of concern. Usually we invert those. Our sphere of concerns becomes what we think is our sphere of influence. Very, very rarely can we actually benefit our sphere of concern. And then we use that to neglect what we can really impact. So he said, with the potential threat of one's immediate doom comes the clarity of how they should be really focused and live in their life. What's important? I was talking to a brother a few days ago who's been writing this book for a long time. And he said to me, man, I've written more in the last 2 weeks than I've written in the last like 5 years. Because I realized like what's important. You talk to couples, they're like, man, we really started to build a very good relationship because we realized how important, how necessary we are for one another. When my daughter was sick, you know, and we asked Allah to cure all the sick and all these children and all these people and protect us from this virus, man. You know, like the intimacy in the intensity that you have in that moment. So the first, he says, taqsirul amal, that a person will be able to do reconnaissance of their dreams and ambitions and cut out the fat, cut out what's not real. Tulul amal. Some of our scholars talked about this idea of like false hope, right? Things that no one will ever be able to do, but they get caught up. And if you think about it, a lot of marketing is geared towards expanding the notion of false hope and restricting the ability to do really meaningful, impactful work. The second thing he said was tahsinul amal, that a plague will help us be better in the work that we do. And this means two things. Number one is in our devotion to God. Like now I can say, I feel like my prayer is a little different. You know, yesterday, my extended family, I have a large extended family. So four generations of people, me and my brother-in-law, Allah bless him, we went out and did all the shopping for, subhanAllah, four generations. So we was up in Costco deep, you know what I mean? And masked up and everything. Felt like the old days, we used to wear masks. And, you know, we did it, and we did it, like, focused. We got it done. We did it right. We had the list, everything, boom, 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 right? So it we're very careful. So he said an outcome of a plague is that your work will be better. And before we left, my brother-in-law said, man, let's pray two rakat. Let's pray. Let's take it to Allah. Ask Allah, oh Allah, you know, who would have ever thought that you would think like Costco was like Crenshaw, you know what I mean, on a Saturday night or something? Like Costco is a place where you could get hurt. Costco? Like we're making two rakah. Imagine how Allah has humbled us as human beings that we are making two rakah haja for Allah to protect us in Costco. Allahu Akbar. That's not 23rd Street in Oklahoma City. You know, like, wow. Back in the days on late night trips, that's Costco. But look how, subhanAllah, this has shown our fragility as a species. And within that fragility will come the desire, and Allah, we believe, created this in us as people to make us constantly want to get better. We made you in the best mold. You always want to be better. So when he says tahsin al-amal, that means in two areas. Number one is a heightened intensity in worship. Ask yourself, man, is your sujood the same as it used to be? Is your sujood the same as it used to be before this happened? Is your dua the same as it used to be before this happened? Is your dhikr the same as it used to be when you leave the house? You know when you leave the house. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Ibn Hajar said, that's a blessing because before you weren't like that. And then in the corporal work that we do, whether we're artists, whether we're lawyers, whether we're on the front lines this week, you know, I've been in contact with a number of physicians and the work they're doing, man. We should all be doing fundraisers to make sure that the physicians in our community that we know, that's our sphere of influence, right? They all have the material that they need to serve the sick. The Prophet said, "Man ghazza ghaziyan," whoever equips a soldier, faqad ghazza, is like someone who went for the battle. So then what about the person who helps equip, like Dr. Qadira in D.C. on the front lines? Our brother Saqib in New York is on the front lines. Brother Wali Khan in Chicago on the front lines. Those local communities, we should be raising money to make sure they have their masks, that they have everything they need. And if we can, their colleagues also. That's real work. That's tahseen al-amal. Understanding what needs to be done, taqseer al-amal, and then tahseen al-amal is to execute properly. To execute properly. The last two are very important. And he said the third is al-yaqadha min al-ghafla. Allahu Akbar. He said that you're woke after your negligence. And you know, the idea of being woke, I know the terms kind of play it out. And I see even sometimes Muslims making fun of this term, astaghfirullah. That term has a value to other communities that we should love and defend and be on the front line supporting. To be Muslim and not care about the inequality that minorities and black people in this country experience is to be a hypocrite to the message of Malcolm and to be a hypocrite to the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see now how the inequalities of this country are exposing what many of us knew to be real. This virus has, exposed this. So to be woke, it's interesting if you look at Imam al-Harari, his text, Manazil al-Sa'irin, and Imam Ibn Qayyim, these scholars lived hundreds and centuries of years ago. What's the first station in Islamic spirituality? What's the first stop? Is al-yaqadha, to be woke. Why didn't we partner with people in that terminology? Why didn't we offer some Islamic cadence to that terminology? Why didn't we share our own perspective instead of also just adopting or appropriating other people's definitions? Bring your stuff to the table and share with people. Say, as a spiritual tradition, Islam says, as a religious tradition, in its spiritual component, the first station is al-yaqadha. Qul innama a'idhukum biwahid. Allah says to the Prophet, tell them I inspire and awaken you with la ilaha illallah. So Imam Ibn Hajar says, al-yaqadha min al-ghafla. Look, man, I remember in 9/11, people were worried that the mosques were going to become empty, that MSAs would be abandoned, and we saw the opposite. Muslims that were struggling became saintly people. Brothers in the most difficult and sisters in the most difficult situations, whether incarcerated, I remember there was the carceral state is a monster, but I remember there was a prison that a brother, mashallah, he told me he gave 500 shahadas. 500 brothers and sisters became Muslim. How many people went to Barnes & Noble for a turmeric latte and came back home with a kufi, right? How many people went, you know, to like, even maybe I remember there was a brother in Oklahoma that used to come and attack Islam at the mosque. And what did the brothers do? And the sisters, they fed him. They not only fed his stomach, but Allah fed his heart. And he came into al-Islam. So now, how many of us have been awakened? We were caught up. I was following the Kardashians. Let me follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was caught up, you know, in fantasy football and this and that and betting and gambling. No brothers that told me this. And now I've been brought out of that fantasy. I was caught up not appreciating my family, my spouse, my children, what's important. Now I got eyes I can see again. You know, in Islam, we believe that loss brings value. It's tough, man. It's a tough one to deal with because the present is a gift. But look at the Sahaba. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, their love for him increased. Look at great figures that have impacted societies in any field, right? People tend not to really appreciate them until they're gone. Imam Zain al-Abidin, when he died, the request for zakat in his city rose so much that the government sent people and asked, what happened? Why now are so many people needing zakat? They said, Imam Zain al-Abidin, the grandson of Sayyidina Ali, great-grandson of Sayyidina Ali, he used to give us jobs. He used to provide employment. He wasn't just a religious figure. He made moves. And now we miss him. Now we see the impact of his loss. And that causes us to appreciate people more. So al-yaqadha, Ibn Hajar said that this kind of impending threat does not allow for the budget of negligence. How many of you miss Fajr today? How could you miss Fajr? When the Prophet said, and I saw this on my brother Tone Trump's Instagram, whoever, this beautiful hadith, it reminded me of it, it was like I'd never heard it before. Whoever prays Salatul Fajr, Allah will protect that person for the whole day. Like if I believe in that hadith, I'm not going to miss Fajr now. The last thing that he mentions, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is very powerful and very profound. And he says, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that number one is that a person is going to be able to focus on truly what's important, not get caught up in delusion. Number two, they're going to improve their devotion and their professional labor. Number three, al-yaqadha min al-ghafla. And the last, Allah, is that a person now will truly prepare for the trip ahead. Can you imagine, man? Allah says in the Quran, innaka kadihun ila rabbik. You coming to me. We're going to meet. Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a. Who loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. If I look at my trip to the hereafter, similar to the airport, how much baggage am I going to be able to bring on that trip? Allah says, so prepare for inna khayra zadi taqwa. Prepare for this journey through life, to live for a greater life. And those provisions, he said, when you feel like I may leave this stop in dunya, I may leave this and move on, then what am I preparing for the next move? What am I now, you know, packing, if you will, for this journey to Allah? So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the most vulnerable, the Palestinians. Go and research a place called Jarash. Go research a camp in the middle of nowhere called Jarash. Read about those people and ask yourselves, how in today's world can anyone allow this to happen? Think about those children on the border who those tears are coming down their eyes. They may be impacted by this virus. They haven't seen their parents in months. They've been separated by their parents. Think about those people and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and make us agents of their protection. Ask Allah, as the Prophet said, Sayyidun Nas Khadimuhum, the best person is the one who serves people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah to make us servants and served. Think about people in this country, minorities who are being gravely impacted by this virus because of the social programming and setting and construction that's happened in this country. We have to be agents of healing them. Think about our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, the Rohingya. Think about the people in Italy, right? Those people who are dying in my city, New York City, people who are dying there. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the sick, to cure the sick. And we ask Allah to bless all of the healthcare providers, those on the front lines, those nurses, those doctors, people who go to work every day, don't have the proper equipment, who are sacrificing themselves for others. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in goodness. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.